Consider James 2:14-26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith, that kind of faith, save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith, by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see, then, that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." James speaks of faith. Indeed, he speaks of two sorts of faith: living faith and dead faith. What is dead faith? Let James tell us. Dead faith is assenting to the facts of the gospel and stopping there. Living faith is assenting to the facts of the gospel and believing in such a way as shows itself in practical obedience to the gospel. So James asserts. He then applies what he is saying to three sorts of persons: devils, nominal Christians, and true believers. The devils have a dead faith. Nominal Christians have a dead faith. True believers have a living faith. James works all this out by way of contrast and comparison. But we must be clear at this point. Care is needed. We must not confuse the contrast and the comparison. James does not contrast the faith of devils and the faith of nominal Christians. He compares them. They both have a dead faith. Devils and professors have a dead faith. Saints have a living faith. What James does contrast is the faith of devils and the faith of true believers. The devils have a dead faith. True believers have a living faith. This is most important. Let me repeat it. James compares the faith of devils and the faith of nominal Christians, but he contrasts the faith of devils and the faith of true believers. The nature of the faith of devils and nominal believers is the same and different to the nature of the faith of true believers. Although James is writing to true believers, he has nominal Christians in mind. Someone, oh foolish man, he says. Of course, if the cap fits, James 2:16. And this is his point. He wants to make sure that all his readers are true believers and not deceived. He wants to make sure that they all have a true faith and do not rest in a historical faith, a dead faith. The fact is, James declares, nominal Christians and devils have the same faith. True believers, therefore, have a different faith to both nominal Christians and devils. Therefore, examine yourselves, James demands, in effect, of his readers. Make sure you have a living faith. Nominal Christians and devils believe with a historical, dead faith. True believers believe with a saving, spiritual, living faith. Sure enough, men and devils who believe with historical faith might well tremble. One day they certainly will. But this is not saving. As James puts it, men may profess to believe, but if that profession does not show itself in good works, their profession is vain, their faith is dead. Nominal Christians make a profession. They believe historically, they assent to the truth, but they fail to produce good works. They fail to produce good works because they are spiritually dead, and they are believing with a dead historical faith. The devils likewise. True, the devils tremble. But trembling is not the good works James had in mind. All the trembling in the world will never match one good practical work of gospel obedience to the law of Christ, obedience produced by a living child of God. A cartload of trembling will never make up for a lack of spiritual life. Devils believe, yes. They tremble, yes. But they are devoid of saving faith. They are damned. Likewise, nominal Christians talk of their faith, but it is not spiritual or saving. Mere assent to the truth is a dead faith. To go into eternity with a dead faith is to be damned. It is only living faith which is saving. Faith which is demonstrated in gospel obedience. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham believed, and because of and through their faith, all were moved to action. The action, their works, did not save them, but their saving faith moved them to obedience to God's commands. Take John 13:34-35, Acts 19:18-20. 1 Thessalonians 1:4-10. Saving faith is more than assent. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. James 3:13. Furthermore, the and of James 2:19 is chi. And although this chi can be translated and, it is better translated here as even. There is ample scriptural warrant for such a translation of chi. Indeed, chi appears twice in the verse. Even, that is chi, the demons believe, and chi, tremble. And over the first there is no debate. Chi means even, also, as it does in many scriptures. As for James 2:19, the authorized version has, the devils also chi believe, comma, and chi tremble. Note the comma. Better still, the New King James version. You believe there is one God. You do well, even chi. The demons believe, dash, and chi tremble. The introduction of the dash in believe, dash, and tremble rightly enforces the point. Better still, the NIV. You believe that there is one God, good, even chi. The demons believe that, dash, and chi, shudder. In short, I would translate the verse. You believe that there is one God, good, even chi, the demons believe that, dash, even chi, to the extent that they shudder. There can be no doubt. James is clearly comparing, equating indeed, the faith of devils and nominal Christians, and contrasting that faith with the spiritual saving faith of true believers. One faith is dead faith. The latter is saving faith. Historical faith is not saving. Thomas Manton, the devil's assent to the truth. They have an assent which causes horror and torment, but they have not a faith which causes confidence and peace, the proper fruit of that faith which is justifying. Bare assent to the articles of religion, even to Christ himself and Scripture itself, I would add, does not imply true faith. Compare the conflict between Christ and demons in the Gospels. How often did the demon speak, crying or shouting out to him? In what they said, were they ever unorthodox? Of course not. They all had historical faith. I might say, they had perfect historical faith. They all assented to every gospel fact. What is more, many Jews believed in Christ in his day. But with what sort of faith did they believe? Their behavior showed them in their true colors. Indeed, in many cases, Christ did not regard them as true disciples. He told them they did not understand his word, had no room for it in their hearts, but were still slaves of sin and Satan, hating Christ and wanting to kill him. So, even though they did believe, they did not, in fact, believe. How can this be? The answer is patent. They believed with historical faith, but they did not believe savingly. They did not understand. Their hearts had not been affected. Just so. It was all in the mind, historical faith. Take Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8. Simon himself also believed and was baptized, but he soon gave the game away. And Peter told him straight, "You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Agrippa is a classic case. Paul could challenge him with a rhetorical question. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know that you do believe." Agrippa believed. But did he savingly believe? He did not. He had historical faith, and that was all. He believed the prophets. But believing the prophets is not in itself saving. So Agrippa was not saved. And this is where we reach the nub of the question.